And today's a day to rescue another soul. Because that's what it's about, right? Amen. But you can't give what you don't have. You can't rescue unless you've been rescued. And what God is asking us is all of us in every area. Every bit of us. You know, one of Jesus' powerful characters was humility. Humility was one of his characters. It was powerful, you know. And I want to talk about spiritual humility today, because there's a difference between spiritual humility and humility. You know, many people, because we know in humility there's an arena of submissiveness. Amen? Well, many people can go to their job and submit, but then they can't submit to the authority of Christ. So there's a difference between spiritual humility and humility. I mean, the reason is because behind the motive, they're submitting for money instead of for the kingdom. So there's a difference between spiritual humility and humility. Amen? Okay, praise God. Go to James chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 4. Glory to God. The word will not return void. Is everybody there? Glory. James chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Hallelujah. I think we better all read this together. I mean, you know, praise God. Is everybody there? James chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's go. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So we know that your members have a desire for pleasure. Amen. Because your members is associated with self, and it's talking about me, myself, and I, and what's good for me. He says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You know, when you really think about this, you lust and don't have, you murder and covet because you can't obtain. You know, because of the world and the arena of desire for self, and the Bible tells us that in the latter days it will even increase more, that men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure and money and so forth instead of lovers of God. And we know that's increasing. And the only reason why that's increasing is because more darkness is being released during this time. And more darkness will be released. So your fight today is harder than yesterday, but it's easier than tomorrow. Hello. So that's why God is pouring out not only his presence more, but revelation knowledge, which is actually Holy Ghost bullets that go in your bazooka so you can kick butt on the devil. Amen. So we see here that people murder and they covet and they do all kinds of things. And what's the purpose of it? For fulfilling self, isn't it? Self-gratification. Even vengeance is nothing but self-gratification. Right? So there's a place of spiritual humility compared to just humility. Remember, humility is someone that submits to the things of the world but not submits to the things of the Spirit. Everybody all right? Praise God. Okay, in verse 3, would you read it with me? Or let's read verse 2 again. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Then he says, and you ask and do not receive because you ask it amiss. Why? To fulfill your own lust. That you may spend it on your what? Your pleasures. Oh, hallelujah. And of course, you know, we justify in our minds that the things we want to get when we ask for it, we want to use it for the kingdom of God. But God knows exactly what the end result of it is. That's why we don't get it. So everybody understand that. And not only that, sometimes he holds back things because we're not in position for it yet. Sometimes there's areas where we're still reaping some things. Hello? Until we come out of that reaping. Amen? Sometimes there's an area of the Lord delaying certain things because there's danger ahead. But see, spiritual humility can submit to those things. Does everybody understand that? Because spiritual humility also is associated with trusting God. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So anybody wanting to come under the humility of just the world, but not the humility of the Spirit, makes himself an enemy of God. We become his enemy. He's not our enemy. Amen? Okay. Verse 5. Or do you think that the Scripture says, in vain the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Why? To have all of you. That's what he wants. All of you. But he gives more grace. Now grace represents favor. Amen? Grace holds back God's judgment. And grace is a representation of co-labor with God. So he says he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the what? Proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want more favor of God? How many of y'all want God to move back the powers of darkness in your life? Amen. And how many of y'all want to co-labor with God? I mean, well then, you know what you're going to have to get? Spiritual humility. Verse 7, read it with me. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, hallelujah. What's he saying? Come under that spiritual humility, because you'll be able to submit to God, the things of God. Then you'll be able to resist the things of the devil. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. What's he doing? He's confirming the word. By what? Granting you more grace. Is everybody with me? So in this, spiritual humility is one of Christ's characters. Also, spiritual humility, let me tell you, everybody wants the anointing. Well, let me tell you this. You better get spiritual humility. There's a cloak of humility that always must be worn for the anointing to be maintained upon your life. Hallelujah. Humble yourself and the Lord will lift you up. It's an act of resisting the devil, because pride will always nullify spiritual humility. Now, let me share this with you. Pride promotes carnal humility. Come on, you got it? Pride promotes carnal humility, but pride nullifies spiritual humility. Oh, hallelujah. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. It's an act of resisting the devil, because the devil is pride, isn't he? Amen? It has nothing to do, you know, so many people look at humbling yourself to the things of God as being weak or shy or wimpy or weeny. And that's not what it is. It's being strong in the Lord. Being strong in the Lord. Again, I want to tell you, pride will promote carnal humility, and pride will nullify spiritual humility. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Come on, we all want the anointing. We want God's favor. We want to walk in these last days. Come on, we want to reach our hand right into hell and pull somebody out. You know what I'm saying? You know, people that are bound by the pit, that are taken captivity, to rip them right out of the hands of the devil. Verse 5, would you read it with me? Likewise, you younger people, is everybody there? Has everybody got a voice this morning? Praise God. Come on, it's time to sow. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Man, I'm telling you, you'll see this all over the Bible. I think he says it a bunch of times. I didn't count them, so I can say bunch. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Because he wants to exalt you in due time. Has everybody got it? He doesn't want you to just, you know, be under this little rock and say, okay, you little humble thing, you. He wants to kick that rock off, pull you out of the cave. You know, David was in the cave for a period of time. Eventually, he's going to pull you out of the cave. Why? When you've learned the spiritual humility. He doesn't put you in positions or anything unless you've learned humility. Oh, hallelujah. And it says here, what now? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And he does care for you. You know, now there's an arena of false humility. And those are individuals where the heart's not right. Hello? The heart's not right. The heart's not pure. And they have a sense of being humble, but they're really not. They have a sense of, they come before you and say, yes, 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 I'm going to submit to all the things of God, and they turn around. And they still do what the things they want to do. That's called false humility. They have a sense of being humble before people, but behind closed doors, their heart is still leading them of wickedness, wanting to do their will. Many of these individuals are bound by religion. By religion. They can't respect others, and they got to do what they want to do no matter what. That's called religion. Oh, and they can speak the word, they can pray in the spirit, they can lift their hands, they can do all kinds of stuff, but they have a sense of false humility. They're humble in front of people, but behind closed doors, they act a different way. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. God resists the proud, but he gives favor to the humble. Philippians 2. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Starting at verse 1 in Philippians 2. Is everybody there? Oh, it's good to hear the page is turning on a Sunday morning. Would you read starting at verse 1 with me, please? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, which, what's the word Christ mean? Anointing. We're going to keep talking about the anointing in every area. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me on the way here? He said, God sees the blood and the devil sees the anointing. We'll talk more about that Tuesday. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affectionate mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love. Now we know what love represents, right? Anointing. Being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through what? Selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be a busybody. Amen. It means that you're looking out for others' interests. It's amazing of no matter how many people or whatever are a part of the fellowship at a certain time, in my spirit, I know who's missing. I know. It's like, poof, hits me. Man, that person's missing. Or this, or whatever. Why? Because spiritual humility is an arena of looking out for other interests and their protection. Does everybody understand? I mean, look what Jesus did. He gave himself for everyone else. And it's something that we have to learn sometimes by our mistakes and things we go through. But it's also a spirit of humility as one of Christ's characters. Amen? And we want the fullness of Christ's character. So he says, let this mind be in you, which also was in who? Christ Jesus. Who being in a form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no what? Reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in an appearance of a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient. So you see that humility is associated with obedience. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now Jesus humbled himself. Let me share something with you. He humbled himself from kingship. Right? Come on. He laid down his authority and became a man and came into the world. From kingship to, you might consider, beggar. Amen. In fact, a Greek word for to be humbled is called tapeneo, something like that. T-A-P-E-I-N-A-O is a Greek word. And what it means for to be humble is willing to stoop to any measure that is needed. That's why when people come into ministry in the discipleship house, I say to them, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Because if you're not willing to do whatever it takes, you'll never learn spiritual humility. Amen? And that's what maintains the anointing, your relationship, and gives you dominion over darkness. Hello. Oh, praise God. Is everybody okay? You know, humility is a character of the anointing. Amen? That's a character of the anointing. Being present and maintaining. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse something. Everybody blessed today? Glory to God. Verse 17. Would you read it with me? The highway of the upright is to what? Depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the what? With the proud. Amen. So we see here that to a humble spirit or spiritual humility is an arena of departing from evil, right? You keep yourself from evil and you preserve your life. It tells us that association with pride will destroy the spiritual or separate spiritual humility. And then once pride is accessed, destruction is next, right? It tells us that a haughty spirit is before a fall. Why? Because an individual is still wanting self. Me, 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 me. Oh, hallelujah. It says it's better to be humble with the lowly, right, than to divide the spoil, the riches, the things of the world. Now he's expressing two areas of humble. Spiritual humility and humility of the world. Carnal humility. Because what does it say? Carnal humility is looking for spoil. Spiritual humility is looking for God. Whew. Proverbs 22. While we're in Proverbs sections. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 4. By humility and what? Fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Three things come out of spiritual humility. Riches, honor, and life. Riches, honor, and life come out of spiritual humility. Go to Proverbs 29. Oh, hallelujah. So are you there? In verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. A man's pride will what? Bring him low. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. So now he talks about how you retain honor. Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. Ooh. So we want to retain honor, don't we? Amen. Go to Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. Everybody understand the difference between spiritual humility and carnal humility? Matthew chapter 18. Starting at verse 1, and it says, and at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, okay, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever, what? Humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we see that spiritual humility makes you great in the kingdom. Why? Because God can do more things for you and through you. Humbles himself and is the greatest. Now listen, here. This he said, don't, in other words, it's not about childish maturity. He's talking about humbling yourself as a child. And what is a child? A child is all trusting, isn't he? Three characteristics of a child. All trusting, quick to forgive, and willing to learn. Three characteristics. All trusting, quick to forgive, and willing to learn. So he says, you must be converted like a child. You must be what? All trusting. In other words, a little child trusts mom and dad. They lean on them. All trusting. Quick to forgive. Children forgive very quickly. You know? It's the adults that hold everything. Then they pass it on to the children. And willing to learn. Did you ever get a kid up to you and says, ask you 50 questions? What about this? What about that? What about this? When? Where? How? Why? When? I'm hungry. When do we eat? I mean, you know, a child is very inquisitive. You know, wants to know everything. Daddy, how does that happen? What's that? You know? And you know, And it's sure nice to know the truth so you can tell your child. But you know, I know my parents didn't know the truth. So when I would ask questions spiritually, they had nothing to say. You know, they couldn't tell me the things of God because they didn't know the things of God. But see, what an honor it is that you know now. You know? So God says, be childlike. Why? Because childlike is an arena of spiritual humility. Man, when I go pray to the Lord, I'm on my knees. Dad. Or when I talk to my, you humble yourself before going to God. Listen, you don't have to approach God and say, Lord, your word said this. He knows what his word says. Hello? You don't have to challenge God with his word. He knows what his word says. The reason why we say, Lord, your word says, is because we need to be reminded. Hallelujah. So he says, humble yourself like a child, all trusting, quick to forgive, and willing to learn. Willing to change? Willing to submit? Hello? Luke 18. Spiritual humility. You know, spiritual people who have spiritual humility are willing to wait also. Why? Because they're all trusting, aren't they? But see, pride will cause you to, I want it now. I'm not willing to wait. Because I is always involved. Luke 18. Everybody there? Let's see what we got here. Oh, this is wonderful. Verse 9. Would you read it with me? Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Oh, that self-righteousness thing. That place of false humility. Watch, this was manifested. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee. Of course, a Pharisee knew all the stuff, knew all the things of God and whatever. And the other, a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector praying next to me. I'm sure glad I'm not like that person. This is what I do. I fast twice a week. I give tithes and all that I possess. Look at me. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, there's many times when, you know, being in ministry, you can sense the spirit of pride on an individual, and you just have to sit back and watch God humble them. Man, they have to eat some dirt sometimes, especially if they're not willing to receive counsel, correction, or direction. Man, you just got to sit back and watch dirt fly. Woo-wee. They come up with a mouthful of it. Are you ready to listen now? Yes, I'm willing to do anything it takes. Good. That's called spiritual humility. Now we must maintain it. Amen? Go to Romans 12. Praise God. You know, one of the things the devil will always try to do is steal that from you too. Because he'll try to challenge you through someone so that you get sucked in the ring and start trying to prove something. Amen? Trying to prove yourself. Next thing you know, the cloak of humility just went poof, and you're in the ring trying to use it. And the next thing you know, you're arguing. Hello? Why? Because the devil knows that if he can pull you from spiritual humility, he can break the anointing. Does everybody understand that? Remember, the anointing overcomes everything in the world. There isn't anything that the anointing can't overcome. Nothing. But see, the devil still speaks to you, doesn't he? So he tries to sway you so that the anointing can be nullified and he has access to you. Oh, hallelujah. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, would you read it with me? For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Hello. But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. In other words, God is saying, don't go beyond what he's given you. Don't think all of these things. There's some people have expectations, but these expectations are out of reach. And then when high expectations are not reached, they create big downfalls. Amen? Well, you see, what happens is an individual begins to work in his own strength then, because he has these expectations for himself, and he loses sight that God is the one that brings all things. Does everybody understand that? And that removes the cloak of humility. I have expectations. You know, being in ministry for a while, especially in the dealing in the discipleship house and with people bound by drugs and alcohol and so forth, and just beyond that, you know, you have high expectations for individuals. And then sometimes my expectations for individuals used to affect me because I'm thinking, man, if that person, you know, what's the matter? That person is supposed to be this and that and whatever. You know, I had to finally come out of that and let God deal with them and not me. Amen? Because them not making it shouldn't affect me. Does everybody understand that? I can't let other individuals affect my walk and bring me low. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that means all day. Amen. All day. Everybody must work out their own salvation, right? Everybody. I see people walk away from God all the time. The only thing I have to say to them is bonehead. Get ready to eat some dirt. Because you're going to eat it good and you're going to eat it hard. You know, there are people who have completed the 9-month discipleship program. I hate that word program. Discipleship house. And I know they came to do time. And they left here not delivered and healed yet. Why? Because they never gave their whole self to God. They gave partial. And then when they left, they thought, whoa, I can't wait to get my life back. Wait a minute, I thought you gave up your life. You said you gave your life to Jesus. No. I'll still follow the Lord. I'll go to church and stuff. But I still want my life back. Well, then you never gave your life to God. You never accepted him as your Lord. And that spiritual humility was never learned. See, there's a difference of doing time. But I'm not bound by space and time. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Doesn't matter. It's about a relationship. That's all it is. It's fellowship. Maintaining that cloak of humility. It's what you say is, what do you want me to do today for you, Dad? What is it I can do for you? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You know, they end up calling later wanting to come back. I always ask them, what'd you learn? So why did you leave? Why did you go out to the devil again? Well, you know, it's pride goes before a fall. Every time. Amen? Okay, so listen, humility, oh, hallelujah. Not thinking yourself to be above others, amen? There's a difference in authority and office, but it doesn't mean that you're above anyone, amen? It doesn't mean that you're better than anyone. What God gives us here doesn't mean that we're better than anyone. It means that now you're accountable for more. Hallelujah. Why? Because you know more. And because, you know, everybody cries out, I want to know God more. I want, oh man, more revelation. He gives it to you. He says, okay, now that you got it, now that you know it, you better use it. Amen. Humility frees you from pride. Spiritual humility frees you from pride. Frees you from worldly appearance, keeping up with worldly dress. You know, some people have to buy clothes all the time. Man, if I don't have the right things to go along, and then they dress the same way, they put their hats in lock position, they wear the same lifts, they do this, they do that. Why? Associated with worldly appearance. Some of these kids are still walking around with their pants halfway down. I couldn't understand it. How do you outrun the police? Never made any sense to me. Man, I know when I was in the world, man, I wasn't worried about my... Can you imagine trying to lift your pants up, trying to outrun the police, jumping over fences and getting caught? Amen? So they, you know, they want to live, they want to have the appearance, but I'm telling you, spiritual humility will free you from the appearance of the world. Why? Who cares? Who cares? Why? Because that spiritual humility is associated with the character of the anointing which breaks that yoke. Oh, hallelujah. I remember I got not convicted but condemned because of my ponytail. I had some religious preacher in the jail, some chaplain quoted, I mean, it was the first time I went in there and so forth, and he quoted some scripture in Corinthians, and it talked about the ponytail. Guys with long hair, you know. And I just looked at him and said, like, you're religious. God doesn't judge by the appearance, does he? He judges by the heart, doesn't he? But I'm going to tell you something. Your appearance is associated with your character. Hello. There's people that still want to dress the way... Come on, you get people that... They're still hunting for a mate. They dress differently. Hello. Think about it. I mean, there's sometimes... Oh, I don't know if I should go there. I'm going to keep... Hallelujah. Okay, humility frees you from pride. It frees you from worldly appearance. Right? Keeping up with the Joneses. It frees you from worldly success of greed and self-promotion. Spiritual humility frees you from worldly reputation. I'm somebody and I need to prove it. Come on, write these down. The first one, spiritual humility frees you from what? Pride. The second one, worldly appearance. The third one, worldly success, which is greed and self-promotion. The fourth one, worldly reputation. I'm somebody and need to prove it. The fifth one, worldly riches, the love of money. A love of pleasure. Is this number six? Good. Worldly authority, dominance, and usury. Dominance and usury. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Oh, hallelujah. Spiritual humility. Thank you, Lord. (Clears throat) In verse 9, then Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. Now understand something. Here is Jacob in spiritual humility going to God. And the first thing he says, I am overwhelmed with your mercies and the truth that you have revealed to me. I am not worthy. Does he understand that? He is overwhelmed. Why would you show and share all of these things with me? Hello? You know, it's an arena of gratefulness, isn't it? See, maintaining spiritual humility is always an attitude of gratitude. Thank you. See, the moment you think you deserve it, you just broke it. None of us deserve anything we've received. Hello. Go to Joshua 5. Joshua chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. It's a good day to die, isn't it? And get dressed with the cloak of humility. Would you start at verse 13 with me? And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. Well, man, that ripped through Joshua right then and there. So the Lord came. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. And what did he do? He worshipped him. And what did he say? What does my Lord say to his servant? Man, did he have a cloak of humility. What is that? Oh, a cloak of humility, spiritual humility, always says, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 9. See, he was willing to obey, wasn't he? 1 Samuel chapter 9. The great men and women of God are always associated with spiritual humility. They have learned it and learned to maintain it. It doesn't mean they don't make mistakes. Amen? We talked about Abraham and Joshua, spiritual humility. King Saul even started off with spiritual humility. You know how many people start off with it? But don't end up with it. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because they begin to lose that attitude of gratitude. They become prideful. Then the devil begins to water that, and they begin to think, well, you know what? This is what I deserve, man. I worked hard for this. And they lose sight that God gave them the strength. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 21. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me? Now Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall, and they had them sit in a place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons, I'm sorry. Thank you. And Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it apart." So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Here it is. What was kept back, it was set apart for you. Eat, for until this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people." So Saul ate with Samuel that day. So Samuel was the prophet. He was the voice of God to people. And Saul was overwhelmed. He was humbled. He says, "Man, you speak to me this way. You're setting me, you're honoring me at this table," because God had chosen him. See, but he started off humble, didn't he? He started off humble. Does everybody understand that? Do you remember when you first started your walk? You said, "Oh God, help me." Spirit of humility came up, man, you repented. "Oh Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes." All that spiritual humility was set upon you, that cloak of humility, and you walked in it for about 3 days. Then the devil set a stumbling block before you. Oh yeah, you got a little knowledge and whoa, you're off and gone. Crazy. Then 3 months of a believer, that's it. I'm starting the Holy Ghost healing ministry. Hallelujah. One touch will, let me tell you. Oh, to God. You know, and when the Lord started true ministries, he said to me, "Guy, I'm going to give your people meat in a bottle." He said, "But the one thing you've got to be careful from is that pride. Because so much knowledge is given to us that pride will take that knowledge and use it against you instead of for you." And this is where we must always keep the cloak of humility, that spiritual humility. Amen? Come on, we've seen ourselves all fallen at that arena. We've seen many people fall in that arena. There are people out there right now that have fallen in that arena, that have never learned spiritual humility. Amen? King David also, go to 2 Samuel 7. Oh, hallelujah. Now we know how Saul ended up, didn't we? Second Samuel 7. In verse 18, I believe. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far?" He humbled himself, didn't he? "And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God?" Now what more can David say to you? "For you, Lord God, know your servant." Spiritual humility is always associated with servanthood, serving the Lord. See, you can't serve people unless you serve the Lord. Amen? People want to go out and serve people without serving the Lord. So that's why people go ahead of God, because they want to go out and serve people without God sending them. See, when you go serve the Lord and you learn how to serve the Lord and minister to the Lord, then you're able to minister to others. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Kings 3:7. King Solomon. I just wanted to run you through a couple of these here so you see these mighty men of God that started off in the spiritual humility. 1 Kings 3:7. Hallelujah. We want to maintain spiritual humility. That's an area where we're willing to say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. In verse 7, would you read it with me? Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Man, Solomon humbled himself, and the Lord honored that. He didn't ask for riches or anything, did he? And the Lord said, because of what you asked for, to have an understanding because of your humbleness, willing to serve me, I'm granting you riches. And Solomon was the richest man in the world and ever will be. Amen? Praise God. Now, look what happened to the prodigal son. I'm going to just talk about it. It's in Luke 15. Remember the two sons. There were two sons, right? Both of them had an inheritance. One of them wanted the inheritance now. Hello? One of it wanted right now. I want it now. I want it now, and I want it now. Me. Mine. And so he took the inheritance and he went into the city and he blew it. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He found himself in the pit with the pigs. Told you he'd eat some dirt. And when he finally came to his senses, he thought, man, you know what? My father has servants that eat better than I do. How did I get to this place? How did I get here? Being a servant of my father with a wonderful inheritance, nice place, everything, willing to submit to my dad and to all and be a servant. How did I get to this place? He left humility. Pride nullified spiritual humility. Amen. Well, you know, I got enough knowledge. I've been working for my dad for a long time. I can take this knowledge and go into the world and survive. I can invest it in this. I can do all kinds of stuff. Well, he blew it all. Never made the opportunity to invest or anything. Lost sight that he was running out of money. Ended up in the pig pen right next to a pig. And he said, man, I don't know how I got here. And he finally came to his senses. And he began to walk home and his dad saw him coming. And when his dad came out, but before he came home, he said something very powerful. He looked to heaven and he said, I have sinned against heaven and my Father. See, when you recognize that you've offended God first before you've offended someone else, then that spiritual humility will come back. See, people repent because they get caught. They don't realize they were caught when they did it. So why wait till you get caught? Repent when you blow it right then and there. So here's the prodigal son that confessed he sinned against heaven and against his father. And when he came walking home, smelling really sweet, come on, you've been hanging out with pigs, you'd smell sweet too. Huh? And his father saw him and ran out to him. And the prodigal son fell to his knees. And he said, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you, Father. Forgive me. And his father put a royal robe, a robe on him and gave him a ring and threw a party for him. Amen? Of course, now his brother was struggling with spiritual humility. He was like, man, how can you do this to him? Look at me, I'm doing all of this stuff. And his father had to correct him. But the brother received correction. Amen? See, that's what happened with the prodigal son. pride nullified spiritual humility which keeps you in communication with your Heavenly Father. Amen? Go to Luke 7, please. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Are you getting it? Luke 7. And verse 37, I think. Yeah, sounds good. Verse 37. Luke 7, verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. I'd say she was quite humble. You got to remember that alabaster box was all she had and worth a lot of money. She was willing to give it up. Now the Pharisees, of course, who had invited him, saw this, and he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner." Did you ever get around somebody? "Don't touch me." That's pride and fear. That's pride and fear, big time, man. Hey, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I don't let people lay hands on me to pray for me. There's a difference. But I'm not going to be offended by somebody touching me. Amen? See, because the anointing causes them to slip off. They can't grab hold of the anointing. It's going to slide. Don't touch me. See, the Holy God, but the anointing says, "Can't touch me." Hello? The anointing says, "You can't touch me." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And so he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair and her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins are, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, she the same loves little." Now that's powerful. See what happened to her? Humility. Amen. She didn't care what others thought what she did for Jesus. She didn't care what the Pharisees, who were controllers of authority there, they would keep her out of the synagogue. She wasn't allowed in because of her sins. She couldn't associate with them. She couldn't even go and ask for food from them or anything. She was a stranger, and a bandit, a vagabond. But she came to Jesus, and they couldn't understand why Jesus accepted her. Because she had humility. Jesus will never turn his back with someone that is dressed with humility. Never. Never. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Luke 8, and verse 35. Everybody there? Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. And it says something powerful. It says, they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let me tell you something. The spirit of humility will always keep you at the feet of Jesus. Amen. You are always looking up. Come on, do you understand it? You're always looking up to him, not looking to yourself. The spirit of humility will always keep you at the feet of Jesus. Amen. That's a humble spirit, isn't it? A humble spirit will always keep you at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And I want to close it. Matthew 11. Come on, repeat after me. A humble spirit will keep me at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 11. Praise God. Let's see here. Thank you. In verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Would you read it with me? Come on, this is what Jesus said. He said what? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. What was his yoke? Man, he was yoked with the spirit of humility, wasn't he? For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember, it's the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. It's the spirit of humility that maintains the anointing in your life. Why? Because it keeps you childlike. And childlike is what? Quick to forgive. Right? Come on, what else? All trusting and willing to learn. We must maintain spiritual humility to walk with Christ so that grace will abound more and more. So that you become a co-laborer with him. Remember, he put on the cloak of humility, became a man, and died for me and you. Remember, the first coming of Jesus was to bring you the anointing. Never lose sight of that. And the only way that he can bring you to the anointing was to be dressed with the spirit of humility. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just take this opportunity as we prepare our hearts for communion. And we repent for every area of association with carnal humility and pride. And pride, Lord. Forgive us for those arrogant arenas where we think we know it all. But we know you. And you know it all. So, Lord, we ask today that you address us with spiritual humility. Remove from us every hindering thing that would prevent us from walking in humility. That grace will abound more and more. That we may be the expression of your love and character. That we may be the expression of your kindness. The expression of your power and the expression of your truth. Keep us, Master. Keep us from those areas of pride and appearance and worldly lusts, riches. Keep us from the area of competition with the world. Keep us, Father. Keep us holy, keep us humble, and keep us hidden in the secret place with you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.